I love Thanksgiving, and I love Christmas, and I love Easter, and I love Flag Day and Veterans Day. Anytime you eat, I'm for it, amen. But thank God, and God's good. I thank the Lord for Thanksgiving. And I want to kind of do a transition. I felt like the Lord laid this on my heart for this morning. You'll know the verses, and I quoted them probably in the last few days of during the Thanksgiving season. But in 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse 15, that last verse, Paul has been admonishing the church at Corinth about giving, about how to give and why to give and such as that. And he ends up with this. It's a wonderful word. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Having talked to us about what God's given us and how we ought to be thankful and how we ought to honor Him by giving, he says, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. No one could outgive the Lord. You ever heard that statement? You can't outgive the Lord. Most time when we try to get people to tithe or give to missions, we say you can't outgive the Lord. But you can't outgive the Lord based on what He gave us. He gave us His dear Son. The word unspeakable means this. It means indescribable. I mean, the gift that He gave us, human tongues cannot describe it. Men have been trying to ever since the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary and was resurrected. And it's just impossible to describe it like it really is. We can't really comprehend the enormity of what happened, the presence and power of God at the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonic powers unleashed on the Lord during those days of darkness, enormous amount of weight of the guilt of sin that was laid on our Lord Jesus Christ. And then begins to see it in the Garden of Eden, in the Garden of Gethsemane when he prayed in great sweat drops of blood. No way to comprehend, no way to describe it. The agony of the cross, the physical agony. I think about it and man, I cringe every time in our drama, Easter drama, and every time that hammer rings. I tell you, I just have chills to think about the agony of our Lord pulling His beard from His face, smiting Him with their fists, crown of thorns on His brow, and all that it did, beating with the cat of nine tails. The horror of that. It was hard for us to comprehend the physical agony of it. But then the weight of sin, and He was perfect, sinless in thought and deed, and yet in that hour, all the sin of all the ages fell on Him. Have you ever committed a sin or disobeyed God and felt like a dirty, low-down dog? You just felt terrible that you did that? Can you imagine the guilt, all the emotion of all of that filth being laid on Him? All of the sin that we can't imagine, the sin of every, all type of debauchery and everything you could ever imagine in the sins of men. All the sin of every person was laid on the Lord Jesus Christ on that cross that day. What an awful thing. It's indescribable. You can't describe the agony when He cried, my God, how, why hast thou forsaken me? How can God be separated from God? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, both, all three co-equal, co-eternal. And yet somehow or another in that moment, God the Father turned His back on His own Son and there was darkness veiled that hill. And God turned His back on His own Son because He bore all the sin of all the ages and He had to suffer. The suffering that He had in His body, in His emotion, in His spirit. Nobody can describe that. But this morning, I want to thank God for His unspeakable gift. Though I can't describe it adequately, though I can't picture it for you in a word picture adequately, I can just say this, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I can't explain salvation, but I sure do enjoy it. And I can worship the Lord. And when we have a brand new body, we'll be able to worship Him like we really ought to. What about this gift? Unspeakable gift, this indescribable gift. Well, I read to you that one verse. Look, I want to read this. You have the book of Luke chapter 2. But I want to read to you in your hearing now, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the angel in Luke chapter 10, 2 and verse 10, reading what you're looking at, Luke chapter 2 and verse 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That unspeakable gift, he is described in the book of Isaiah. He's described at the event of his birth. And that unspeakable gift is the Son of God that he gave to us, and through him eternal life. Let me give you just 7 little points this morning to think about this unspeakable gift. Number one, this unspeakable and undescribable gift was his Son. He gave his Son, his only begotten Son, to suffer and die for us. I've recounted a story over and over again, maybe about our son Charles when he was born. I was pastoring over at the Parish Memorial Baptist Church, and the night he was born, we were so excited. Regina, of course, had gone into labor and was back in the back, and they wouldn't let the husbands go back in there in those days. I was sitting out in the little waiting area, and there's a young black man there, and I had a chance to share Christ with him, and he didn't trust the Lord. But just as we got through, and I told him that all he had to do was call on the name of the Lord, and he said, I want to think about it. And I think I had a brief prayer with him. And just as soon as I got through praying, their nurse was coming down the hall, and she had a little bundle. And she opened up that bundle, and she said, Mr. Cashwell, would a little boy be all right? God had blessed us with Christy, our oldest daughter, who died with leukemia just before she was 2 years old. And before she died, God had given us Melissa. But now we had a son. They wouldn't let me stay in the hospital. It was way early in the morning. So I went home, left Regina there, the rest and the baby. I couldn't sleep. I tossed and turned. And I said, God, I can't believe you gave me a son. And the Holy Ghost of God spoke to me, and he said, I gave you a son long before I gave you that son. I gave you my son. And for the first time, I understood the awesomeness of that gift. How could I ever let that precious little baby boy bear the sins of all the world, all the cruelty of the cross and the torment of the cross, to die for people who trampled underfoot the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, cared nothing about God or the Bible, and yet God so loved us, the whole world, that he gave his only begotten Son. If you have a son, you can imagine there are some of you who have had children to die, some who've had sons to die, and you know the heartache, the pain of losing. But he gave voluntarily his own son. It's unspeakable. It's unimaginable that he'd allow his son. He is the eternal Son of God. He didn't become the Son of God at Bethlehem. He's always been the Son of God. Before the foundation of the world, before there was ever a star or a moon, any of that, there was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says of the Lord Jesus Christ that he was daily the delight of the Father. Even then, back then, he was the delight of God the Father. When he was born, when he was baptized, he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. But he knew what he was doing when he gave him, because he gave him not only as a son, but he gave him as a Savior. Luke says, there's great joy because there's born unto you this day a Savior. That indescribable gift, that unspeakable gift was a Savior. And the Savior indicates that we were lost, we were separated, we were alienated from God, without God, without hope in the world. And no other help, no way in the world to go to heaven. There's none in the name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved but the name of Jesus. He's the only Savior, but he gave it to be a Savior of all mankind, that if they'd come to him, he would save us. And thank God he saved us. Thank God he gave his life for us. I'm glad he saved me from the penalty of sin. What he suffered on that cross, he suffered for me and for you. The separation from the Father was for me and you. He saved us from the penalty of sin. The wages of sin is death. but He saved us from the power of sin that we could live a life. He saved us from a wasted life. Oh, Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. He said, I count everything in the past as dung for the excellency of the Christ. I want to know Him. And thank God, listen, He saved me. Here I am today. I was in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, grew up outside of town, four-room house, the whole story. No bathroom inside the house when I was born. And I remember when we got our bathroom, and that was a blessing from heaven. Amen. But I tell you, God, the Holy Ghost saved me from a wasted life. There's a fellow named, I believe his name was Nicky Cruz, years ago, that wrote a book. He was a drug addict up in New York City, lived among the drug culture way back then. And the title of his famous message is, All My Friends Are Dead. God saved Nicky Cruz, but all of his friends, their life was wasted. I don't listen to it on purpose, but I listen to the radio. That's my entertainment in the morning, the Good Morning Charlie show or Leon, the morning line. I love to listen to those and all the people that call in. It's just entertaining for me to listen to them, and sometimes you find a deal. But right after that, on both channels, they do the obituaries. Most of the time I'm busy, so I just leave it on. And I'm amazed over the last several years particularly how many people die that are in their teens or early 20s. Hundreds in this past year. Why? A good many of them were overdoses. Other things happened. But wasted lives. And He not only saved me from the penalty of sin, but from the power of sin. I tell you, if you trust Christ as your Savior, He'll give you a wonderful life. Will it be a life without pain, a life without sickness, a life without sorrow? No. But He'll be with you all the way. You won't waste your life. I look at people and they're talented and they're beautiful and they could do anything they wanted to do, and they've sold it for one shot of drug or something like that. They've wasted it, waste their life. And He's a Savior not only from sin and not only from the power of sin, but one of these days, thank God, from the very presence of sin. We're going to live in heaven for all eternity. But He was a sacrifice, that loving us and giving His Son. And He's a Savior, but He was a sacrifice. I told you several years ago, as I was studying verses and little words that step out, you know, just jump out of the page at you, you thought you'd never seen. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoso believed in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I love that verse. Most people love that verse who know the Lord. Oh, amazing love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, oh, the precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that might not perish, you don't have to die and go to hell, but have everlasting life, get to go to heaven. But I'd run through all of that and I overlook one little word. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That word just caught my attention, gave. I began to study the root of that word. You know what that word means? It means to offer as a sacrifice, to release completely to the consumption or to the consuming of the flame. When He gave His Son, Jesus, He really was offered Him as a sacrifice in our stead. Scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet period been for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He was a sacrifice offered by the Father to be consumed by the judgment of God. You see, what happened on Calvary was because He had all our sin on Him, all the judgment of our sin fell on the Lord Jesus Christ, the flames of hell, all of that, the thirst of hell, all of it. He was our sacrifice. But oh, thank God, not only is this unspeakable gift a Savior and a Son and a sacrifice, but He is our supplier. He says this, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also freely give us all things? You see, everything I've got came from the Lord. I've often said that everything I wear, somebody gave me. And that's the truth. I hardly ever go buy any clothes. I don't know when's the last time I bought anything to wear like that. I buy an occasional T-shirt or something other, you know, if it's a special thing. But people give me all kind of things. I'm telling you, Miss Cindy, her daddy was a pastor. In God's divine sovereign providence, he's the same age I was. He got promoted to heaven, and I got his suits. And he was a whole lot snappier dresser than I am, and I thank the Lord. I'm not sure exactly where this suit. I know Brad and April gave me a gray suit one time. I've got a black suit I wore yesterday at the wedding that was given to me by Robert and Jan Langdon. The black overcoat I wore, I think maybe Bobby and Lee gave me that. Others, I've got shoes, everything else. Family members give me stuff. I'm thankful for all those things. But the truth of the matter is, everything you've got, everything I got, came from Jesus. He said he shall provide all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So everything I have, everything you have, came through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he knows exactly what we need and when we need it. And it is limitless. It is inexhaustible. He won't ever run out. He'll have all you need as long as you need it and whenever you need it. It'll be right on time every time. Thank God, this gift, he is the great supplier. But I'm thankful for something else. This gift, this unspeakable gift. He is a steadfast friend. Can you imagine knowing royalty? I have a tie, Jim. Melissa brought to me back from England, and they got it at Windsor Castle. They got to go over there, but they didn't invite them to come in and eat Bojangles at the castle or nothing like that. They just went to the castle. I have met some folk in days gone by. I have met a few famous people and a few dignitaries, but they're not my friends. My friends are just like, you know, Brother Chuck, my friend. But we hadn't seen one another for 25 years. I thought about him a lot, prayed for him a lot, hadn't seen him. But since the day I met the Lord Jesus Christ, he's never left me. Not a day he wasn't with me. Not a sorrow he didn't go through. Not a joy he didn't make brighter. Not a weight he didn't make lighter. Oh, he's never left me. He's been a steadfast friend. I thank God that he's stood by me through thick and thin, through my faithfulness and through my unfaithfulness, through my faith or obedience and through my disobedience. He didn't leave me. He didn't throw me under the bus. He stayed with me. And I'll tell you right now, Paul writes and he says, at my last hearing, no man stood with me. Nevertheless, the Lord stood with me. And I say this, nevertheless, in spite of all I've done, he's never left me nor forsaken me. We've had good folk in this church that somehow or another get mad at me about something. I can't imagine, nice as I am, polite as I am, people get mad at me, but they do. And they don't think I do things right sometimes. And they're probably right most of the time. But they've left because they didn't agree with something I felt like God wanted us to do or something I said or something I did. I've had other friends who just kind of went haywire. Old Jesse Norris said, you ought to keep all your friends. You'll need every one of them for a soul win. I've tried to do that through all these years. But there's been one I hadn't had to work at. There's been one I hadn't just tried to be careful around. There's one I can tell in my whole heart and knows everything there's about me and every failure and every thought and everything, and yet he's still my steadfast friend. It never has. I love that song Hickory Grove singing. Donnie always wants them to sing it. I thank God that he's my steadfast friend. And that's what he gave me. I can't understand it. It's indescribable. But he's not only a steadfast friend, he is a sympathetic comforter. He said, I'm going to leave you and your heart will be broken. But I'll send you another comforter. I'll come to you. I'm glad that through every sorrow, He knows every need, every burden, every care. Peter writes and he says this. He said, these things I write unto you, John. He said, these things write unto you that you sin not, but if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He said, I don't want you to sin as a Christian, but sometime we do. But he said, nevertheless, you've got an advocate. You know what an advocate is? Somebody who stands in your place. And standing before the throne of God right now, we've got a sympathetic comforter. Bible said He ever lives to make intercession for us. Every need you've got, every burden you've got, every sorrow you've got, He's been praying about that this morning. He's there always. He knows what things we have need of. He is the great comforter. He'll help you through every sorrow of life, every darkness of life, every surgery, every diagnosis of a cancer. He's a great comforter. He'll help you in times of loss. But let me say this quickly. This gift, this unspeakable gift, not only a son, a sacrifice, a supplier, a steadfast friend, a sympathetic comforter, but He is a sovereign King, King of Kings. I told you a while ago I've met some people, but I have my Savior, my Lord, my King, Jesus Christ. He's not only a sovereign King, He is a soon coming King. I was speaking to, Jamon and Ray right there just a minute ago, and I sent somebody behind me. When I turned around, it was Chuck, and he introduced himself. We hugged. I'm glad to see him. I really wasn't expecting him, but my heart was tickled to death when I saw him. Not talked about him not long ago. Not bad, good. Amen. Brother David Braddy, David Braddy used to pastor down there, but the other brother now that's down there, Brad Dunker at that church. But he and I talked about Brother Chuck, and he told me about him preaching and what God's used him to do, and I was tickled to death. But he just showed up, unexpected. But you know what the Bible said? Jesus, our good friend, is coming the same way. He says He's coming. Be ye therefore ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. He's the soon coming King. I want you to be ready. Only way to be ready, number one, is to be saved and know that heaven's your home. And number two, not to have anything between your soul and your Savior. You see, Christians can commit sin, and it doesn't break their relationship with the Lord, but it breaks their fellowship with the Lord, 1 Corinthians and John chapter, 1 John chapter 1. Sin in my life, sin in your life, we hinder our prayer life, robs us of our joy, robs us of our peace, and the power of God. And we ought to be clean. He said if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us from all unrighteousness, and we can have right relationship with Him. We can walk in the light, He's in the light. We can have fellowship with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit if we'll stay clean. And so I'd encourage you this morning, if something in your heart the Spirit of God puts His finger on, let Him cleanse you this morning. If you're not saved, trust Christ. The book of Romans, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In order to be benefited or blessed by a gift, it has to be received. Jesus said, I came into His own received Him not, but to as many as received Him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God. But you must receive Him. There are verses in the Bible that just I always stand in awe at, but when I read that passage of Scripture where Jesus looked over the city of Jerusalem and wept, and He said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophet, how often would I gather you together as a hen gathers her chick, but you would not. They would not come. They would not repent. What a blessing they missed by not trusting Jesus. Don't you miss that blessing. Give your heart to Him this morning. Will you bow with me in prayer? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God will do what only He can do, convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment, draw by Your grace and save this morning. I pray for people in the media audience, radio and internet. I pray, God, that they would know the Lord Jesus Christ this morning and be clean. God, if they've never been saved, I pray, God, that they right now would turn in prayer, believing in their heart that Christ died for their sin, was buried, rose again, and call on the name of the Lord that they might be saved. God save them for Jesus' sake. I pray, Our Father, for friends here in the building, the same prayer. I pray that every Christian, Lord, has enjoyed Thanksgiving. And Lord, I know that a Christian is absolutely miserable if they've got unconfessed sin in their life, if they are holding bitterness or full of jealousy or an unforgiving spirit. Lord, we can't have Your joy and peace and have things in our heart that ought not to be there. I pray Your people would be clean. They've not been faithful in their prayer life, the Bible reading or whatever. And God, the Holy Ghost has been dealing with them about it. God, I pray they'd get clean this morning. And then again, God, for those who don't know Christ, I pray this would be the morning that they trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, there's some who've been praying about church membership. They know the Lord, they've been baptized. But God, they want to be a member. And I pray, God, if this is where You want them to serve, this is the home church You want them to have, I pray, God, that You'd give them liberty this morning to come and ask for membership into this church. Now, God, You do Your work. I thank You for it. Let's stand together with our heads bowed, our eyes are closed. I want you to obey Christ this morning. Just do what He wants you to do. Nothing like being saved and knowing it. You're going to have a lot of good times, hopefully, through the Christmas season. People are busy buying gifts. You'll never get a gift anywhere in comparison to the greatest gift of all, that is the gift of His dear Son to save you. And I pray that you'll receive Him this morning. If you're a Christian, love Him, serve Him. I think this is the easiest witnessing month, if there's such a thing. Now's the time to tell people about God's unspeakable gift. Greatest gift I ever received. I had a grandson the other day, 9 years old, that asked me some very piercing questions. He's most time just talking about everything else in the world, ball and everything else. But he began to ask me some questions. I don't know what prompted that. But one of the questions was, Papa, what is the best decision you ever made in your life? I said, well, there's two, and they're really close together. But my best decision that I ever made, the greatest decision ever made, when I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and asked Him to save me, that changed my life forever. I'll live with Him in heaven for eternity. In all these years of preaching and ministry and serving the Lord, good times and bad times, I'm sure glad I made that decision. And then I said, now the second one is that I asked You, granted, to marry me. That was the second most important decision I ever made in my life. God has blessed us. If I was to ask you this morning, what's the greatest decision you ever made? If you are saved, I'm sure that popped up in your mind almost immediately. But if you've never made that decision, if you've never trusted Christ, I want you to do it this morning. Got some good men who will pray with the men, ladies who will pray with the ladies. We invite you to come during this invitation time. I'll meet you here at the front. If you have a need or burden, if we can pray with you, or if you, God's moving you, leading you, if you want to come for any reason, if I can help you, I'll do it. We'll pray together. Let's obey Christ now. God, help people now to do what they'll be glad for all eternity they've done. And I'll thank You and praise You in Jesus' name.